Changing minds one thought at a time. Greetings, greetings, and welcome to Motivate Social Podcast, where we bring you people who are changing the world via social media. I am Dr. Akina Finch, and of course, I have my lovely co-host with me, Vanessa Canterbury. How are you today, Vanessa?
I am doing well. How are you?
I am great. I am great. You know, I am so excited that we get to speak with yet another one of our beautiful AIB sisters, and of course, that's Authors in Business, with our lovely leader, Desiree Lee. And you know, it's a great group. I know that both of us have benefited from it. What do you think about that, Vanessa?
It's been absolutely a phenomenal ride, just hearing everybody's journey and everybody backing before the book even came out. So it's been amazing. I'm looking forward to our next guest and hearing her story as well.
Well, I am so excited to introduce to everyone Simone Walden, and she's going to tell us about her book and her journey and how it has taken her to higher heights. So how you doing, Simone?
I am well. How are you ladies doing today?
Oh, great, great, great. We're so glad that you're here, and I want to start off with the question that everybody is wondering. How are you changing the world via social media?
I'm changing the world via social media. I come out every Monday through Friday, 6:45, 7 o'clock. Doing 15 to 20 minutes of praying for the educational system. I'm a teacher by vocation, and so God has laid on my heart to just pray for the school system and to pray for strategies and how we can, you know, overcome and infiltrate the school system with things that he wants to be in there. So I do that every morning, every weekday from 6:45 to 7:15 a.m., and then on Sunday nights, I also pray for the school system from 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time to 8:45 Eastern Standard Time, and it's at 8 p.m.
Oh, wow. That is phenomenal. And why did you decide to start praying for the school system? What brought you to that decision?
Well, I am a teacher, so in my earlier years, I was not the best teacher. I just wasn't in a good place personally, and so that reflected in my, you know, my career. And so I've seen so many kids be mistreated. I've seen so many kids labeled. I've seen adults being taken advantage of. I've seen adults being asked to do things that we're not trained to do. I've seen over the years how the curriculum has shifted to replace the things of God and instead place world standards and the world's thinking on it. And last year, I seen enough. And I used to read Apostle Kim Daniel's books about the school system. And then the Lord was like, I want you to do a devotion. So I started writing, and then I stopped. And then he gave me the prayer call to do it. And ever since I've been praying, I've just seen God move, not just in my life, but in the lives of my friends and the lives of other people that are connected to the call. And so I've seen so much, and I wanted God to intervene because sometimes things are bigger than us. And so I wanted God to make a move and change some things around. I've definitely seen that.
So now, and I mean, you mentioned that, you know, they're moving from God to, you know, the things of man. And, you know, we see that the times are changing. So what do you do to, you know, try to bring it back into perspective for the school system, for your students, you know, because I know that in your area, you can make big changes. And so what are some of the changes you've seen or some of the changes you've done since this has happened?
We do classroom affirmations every morning. And those classroom affirmations, and not every morning, but it's the beginning of every class because I teach middle school, so, you know, I change classes. But at the beginning of every class, we do 10 affirmations, and they are all the Bible says, be wise as a serpent, be harmless as a dove. And so they are all, they were all inspired by the word. I would say that. And so we say those every day. And I used to lead them. And now we have kids who want to lead them. They say them. And it's things that I want them to know about themselves. One of the things we say is, I have the ears of the learner. I will respect those in authority. I will desire friendships that uplift and encourage me. I'll be protected from those friendships that seek to tear me down. I'll recognize any wrongdoing. I will run from it. So those are the things that I instill in those kids every single day. And it's almost like that really replaces our rules, our expectations, you know, the five things that they put up in your classroom. Those are the things that we govern ourselves by. It's not just them that they say it, but I also say it, too, because those are the principles that I have to live by, too. And I've seen my classroom management. I mean, you know, kids are kids. They're going to do things, but my classroom management, you know, I don't really have too many problems. The kids, you know, they'll try. They're respectful to one another. We have to get on each other. But it's just it's a really, really calm, very positive environment. And I had my observation, one of my observations, like a month ago, and I was looking at the results last night and up under the section for classroom management. The 4 out of 5 I got distinguished, which is the highest. And I said, God, it was only you who made this happen. So I'm not just telling other people about it, but I'm applying those same things in my classroom, and it's really yielding us a lot of results.
Oh, my goodness. And I know that it's probably very empowering for the students to say this. And so what does it feel like to you when you look at these students that may feel like no one cares, nobody's bothered by what's going on in their world, to sit there and say those affirmations, and you can see them, see their empowerment and their confidence lifting? How does that feel?
It makes me feel, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so overjoyed every day. Going to work, the only thing I like is it just eats up too much of my time. I really can't, you know, step out and do what it is that God's called me to do, but I absolutely love going. The best part of my day is to see those kids, because those kids, they take ownership of that stuff now. And for them to, it's almost like it's like a competition. Miss Walton, I want to say it today, or you said it, you know, you said I could say it this week, or you said I could say it tomorrow, and, you know, I totally forget. But I love it because they really, really want to get into it. And when they stand up to say it, and the class repeats it after them, it's like they have such a confidence and a boldness about them that, hey, I'm the leader today. Because even with the classroom, it's not me as a teacher. I'm more of a facilitator, and I try to empower them to take ownership of this. So it just makes my heart smiling as I'm walking throughout the day, or I see the kids throughout the day. It's just a really warm environment that I try to make, and it just does my heart well to see them, you know, embrace it so much.
And you know what I love about your story is that oftentimes teachers don't get the recognition that they deserve, let alone they don't get paid what they do, because majority of our children are with the teachers every single day. And so more teachers are now doing things to make that connection with these students that you started to see that's going viral. So I'm loving exactly what you're doing, because our children are our future, and we need to start implementing things into them that they could be able to use on an everyday life. But before you became a teacher, what made you go into this direction of being a teacher? Because oftentimes, you know, you probably had an experience where that one teacher just didn't see the best in you, and you hear the various stories about that. But what is it, that one thing that made you want to go into teaching our students?
As a little kid, I had a teacher. She's a second grade teacher, Miss Teresa Warren. Love that lady. And I still have a good relationship with her now. And then I had a third grade teacher named Miss Eunice Reed. She died when I was like fourth grade from cancer. But those women, they were so nice. They were so sweet. And I would play like a teacher at my house by myself in my room, acting like I'm a teacher. I would make the test, take the test. I was a student and a teacher. I was a principal. I was everything. And it was something that I thought I wanted to do. But then, you know, getting into high school, I kind of wasn't too sure. In college, I wasn't too sure. I was an English major, and then I said, well, maybe I'll just go to law school, because I was thinking about, I want to make money. And by the time I finally got out of college, all I had was an English degree. And then I was like, well, maybe, you know, I'll just apply for the school system and get it. And ironically, I applied that summer, and I got the job. And so it was in the back of my mind, but I really didn't take steps to pursue it. So I went in as a lateral entry teacher. They give you 3 years to get your certification in North Carolina. And so I did that, and probably for the first half of my first 6 or 7 years, I did not like it. My heart was not in it. You know, it was just a paycheck. I enjoyed the holidays. I enjoyed the times off, which I see a lot of teachers now. And that's why I pray so much to God, like, if you just turn our hearts back, because I used to be that teacher. But now it's like he has really given me a passion for these kids. And I told the kids the other day, teaching really saved my life, because when I was in the darkest of my days, coming to school just to be around them, to see them, even in all of their issues that they have, it really did something to me. So it was always innately in me, but I had to come back full circle to really embrace this is where God wants me to be.
Now that is absolutely amazing. That's absolutely amazing. I'm loving it. We need more teachers like you that pours into our children and to be able to give them something better than just to follow the basic agenda that's already pre-scheduled. But you're going above and beyond to show them that there's people out here that do care. Because the majority of our students, when they go home, we don't know what their life is like at home. We just don't know, right? And so what you're doing is giving them something that they get excited about. Say, you know, I could come back to the school, and I know that I could be able to get something that's more, that could carry me on. So keep doing what you're doing. Now, tell the audience more about your book. I know that you have a book out, and I'm just looking forward to hearing more about this book. And why did you write this book?
Okay, the book comes out April 20th, 2017. I'm very excited about it, and I'm so thankful to Desiree Lee and the Office of Biz, and I'm thankful to you guys for even partnering with me to be able to do this interview. But the book is an educational, a devotional and prayer, and an educator. And a lot of times people think it's for teachers. An educator is anybody who can teach somebody something. So it's essentially for everybody. But it's geared towards the school system, because this generation, you know, this generation now is going to be the leaders of tomorrow. So we have to embrace that, embrace these kids. Whether we have kids in school or, you know, they're grown, we still have to embrace this generation. And so it came out of me seeing the different types of educators. It came out of me being a lot of those different types of educators and just praying that God would change our hearts and praying for these people that when they go to school, that they treat these kids like they're human beings. They treat these kids like they're individuals. There's so many people, individuals in the school system who don't even like children, who rather prefer to be around animals. And I've heard people tell me that they prefer to be around animals. And I want to give them hope that you are making a difference. You are really making a difference. These kids value our insight. These kids need us, and they just need guidance. And I always tell people, they are children. They are in school because they need to be taught. So if they're making a wrong choice, we got to teach them a different choice. And so it really came out of my burden. It came out of me not being the best. Danelle, to see how I have changed and God's changed me, how it really influences those kids to be positive. And so I just wanted to spread what everybody is praying. And I know that I'm not the only person that's praying or writing devotions for the school system, but I want the people that I can influence, the people that's in my sphere of influence, to be able to really take charge and to read these books. And this is the teacher's edition for, you know, adults. Kids can read it. But soon after this, the student edition is going to come out, where there's going to be prayers geared just towards students, where they can pray, they can take, they can pull it up on their iPhone, their Kindle, whatever they have, and they can pray it while they're in school. They can pray it on their way to going to school. So these are just prayers and devotions that I hope every educator can pray over their children in the morning, pray over their grandkids, somebody they know that's in the school system, somebody in their neighborhood, somebody in their church, just so we can believe God, especially for the adults that actually impact these kids. So that's how it all came to be.
Oh, my goodness. That is beautiful. And you're right. You know, I am in higher education myself, in addition to the things that I do. And an educator is someone who can educate anyone. So it is for people, anyone who knows that they have a voice, they have a message, and somebody's waiting on it. So that is perfect for your book, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so with that, who did you, but we all know, as authors, all three of our authors on this call, who did you really have in mind? Who did you see when you were writing those pages? Because we all have an avatar. Who did you see when you were writing those pages? Who did you know that you were going to touch? Who did you know that just needed this word right now?
Writing this book, I had maybe three or four of my boys in mind, the boys that I've taught. And it was more so if we can put people in front of this next generation of boys that can really pull into them, that really are about them, that really teach them for who they are, not based on where they come from, not based on their skin color, but really teach them that we can impact such a generation. Because I see such a disparity, and we read about it a lot, disparity of discipline, disparity of grades, just based on the gender, just based on the race. And I was looking at those four, it was four boys in particular who really gave me a hard time. I learned to be a good teacher because of them. And one in particular, I reached out to him maybe 2 years ago because God said, you need to go back and apologize to that boy. He's a grown man and he's 26. So I went on social media and I sent him an apology letter. He's like, Miss Walden, you know, thank you. You were just showing me tough love. He's like, you know, I wish I listened because, you know, I ended up dropping out of school and now I have a family. I said, well, sweetie, you know, you can still go back and make up for that. And so those boys are really who I had in mind, that if I can get people in front of them, if I can get people in front of people like them, we can definitely impact a generation.
I see. That's it right there. And I know Vanessa is probably going to want to chime in on this one because, you know, she has a son as well. And the men are our future. You know, it's been many times, and I know in my family, the women run the city. The men kind of sit back. And so it affected the way that I dealt with relationships because they weren't taking a stand. And so I was always knew to go in and be the hammer, the fixing man. You know, that's what I expected. And so then, so it changes your perception. But when people like you are pouring into these men, when you are putting them out there so that they know that they are supposed to be the rock, they are supposed to be the leader, and you're giving them the affirmations every day that proves to them that they're supposed to be the leader. And they are speaking leadership into their existence. And they are speaking power into their existence. And they are speaking like, I am like the tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved type of fear of power into their spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
fearlessness. Ma'am. Then that is what we need in this world right now. So I have to applaud you for that. I have to applaud you for
Thank
that. You. Yes, you know, and so I know being a teacher, I know that look when the light bulb comes on. And I know that look when they feel like I have reached a level that I never thought that I was going to be able to, or better yet, that somebody told me I wasn't going to. That moment when they claim their power and they see themselves for what they really are, not what somebody else done told them, right?
Right.
I know that that's a wonderful feeling, right? So when you said you were talking to those boys and you were that person that talked to them and put that into them, oh, what a wonderful feeling. You know, and this affirmation book is going to do that for others. And you're going to help other educators do that for other children. Because we can do great things as one, but imagine what we can do as a collective unit. Can you imagine? I just want you to imagine this, Simone. Imagine all these educators reading your book and pouring into them, those children with your affirmations that's from your book in all of these schools, middle school, elementary, high school, higher education. Because the words that you put out there, do you know that these people were ready for you? Do you know how many people were ready for you? And I know that this is probably not what we're supposed to be doing right now, but I had this on my heart to say to you. Are you ready for the amount of impact that you're getting ready to do today? On April 20th, when that book hits, are you ready for the magnitude of the change?
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to be ready. Oh, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much.
You know, sometimes we have to encourage the author.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we realize that something was given to us, but we don't understand the magnitude of it. We just think of it as a small idea, something that I have to do because my heart is tugging on me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at that picture from the outside looking in, when you hear somebody like me who is looking at you from the outside looking in,
mm-hmm.
and you really hear the magnitude of what your book is getting ready to do. I want you to receive that today, my sister. I want you to receive that.
I receive it.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. So tell us where we can get this book. Are you doing pre-sales? You know, tell us where we can find more about you, all of that.
Okay. So the book is on Amazon. It's up for pre-sale. It's $5.99. Now it's, you can go to bit.ly/2stand. It's called Standing on His Word, prayers and devotions every educator can pray. And since I've started the educational prayer called Monday through Friday, I'm on Facebook at Seminae Walden, or you can find me at The Student Teacher. So Facebook at The Student Teacher, Instagram at Seminae Walden, Twitter at Seminae Walden. But what I'm going to do with the live videos is I'm going to embed them in. So the book that comes out April 20th is the ebook. That's $5.99. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a special edition book. There's going to be an upcharge for that. But every video, every live prayer that we pray, I'm going to upload that into another ebook. So that'll be the special edition. So you get not only just the prayers and the devotion, but you actually get to hear me live praying for certain things that's not necessarily written in the book in case you don't miss it, in case you missed it or you haven't been on. And then the print book will be out about 30 days after that. So that's how you can get a hold to me every day.
Now that is amazing. I'm over here in shock. Like, what's going on here? Girl, that's what I'm talking about right there. Because me being a single mother raising my children, I can only do so much. I'm a hands-on mother. But at the end of the day, we have too many parents that because they're a single mother, because they work, and because they, you know, have to go out and make it happen, but at the same time, they feel like they're lost. But when you have someone that is really, really, truly care about our children, means a lot. And one of the things that I want to say, especially when it comes down to our boys, and because the boys have a bad rep, the boys latch on to the mother because the mother is the first person that loves them. But imagine if that boy don't have that love at home, but they have that love from a teacher. You giving them a second chance of something that could that could really benefit them to be able to say, you know what, I may not got that love, receive the love at home like I should have, but this woman loved me in a way that gives me hope again. And so I get it. I totally get it. I know what it looks like when the mother don't love and treat the son the way they need to be treated because of the experience that they had with their father. But when you are doing it in a way like this and you are with them majority all day long, I take my hat off to you because I have a son. I have my son, and when I see how I love on my son, and if I can't do what I need to because I'm sick or whatever the case may be, my son jumps in. He jumps in and making sure his mama's good. He jumps in and makes sure that his sisters are good. And that alone is because I show him from the womb until when he came out to this world that I love you. and I'm going to show you what love looks like. I'm going to show you what love feels like, but I'm also going to show you what happens when you don't do right. And so that's a parent. So if you have children or may not have children, you're a mother in your own right. So I take my hats off to you. You keep doing this amazing. I mean, you are phenomenal, phenomenal in what you're doing. It's like absolutely, I don't think that you truly know what God is about to get ready to do in your life. He's about to get ready to show you some things that you never thought you would be able to see. But get ready. Get ready, because he's about to show up. He's about to get ready to show out. So get ready. I'm sent, because I know all so well, because I see what happens when these babies' mamas don't love on them. It amazes me how much as parents we feel that just because we push out a child that we automatically we are parent. No, it takes some work to mold our next generation. It's going to take some whipping. It's going to take some sculpting. It's going to take some hard times. It's going to take some pain. But at the end of the day, you molded something that's going to be absolutely phenomenal. As long as you're willing to do the work. So, again, I salute you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I received all of that. Thank you so much.
And, you know, Simone, I want to say, you know, if, and I want to say this to the audience, if something resonated with you today in this interview, and I know that it did, please find us at changeyourmindsonline.com. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Tuned In, and, of course, our YouTube channel. I want to thank you, Simone, today for being on here today and for just sharing your message of how you're pouring into the future. I, too, applaud you, and I just want you to continue to walk in your greatness and let God lead you.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Ms. Vanessa. Thank you, Ms. Finch. I appreciate the opportunity, and I pray that something I've said today does resonate with some adult, some student, to know that there is hope and that God can change anything. He can intervene, and he's definitely our God in all that we do.
Yes, and, you know, I just thank everyone for listening today. I think this is probably the highest. This, we're going to leave on a high note, because I don't think it could get any better. But I want to say, you know, just thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking in this story. Go out and touch a life. Go out and touch a life today. Be motivated by this story and go touch a life. So until next time, we will continue bringing you people who are changing the world via social media. Good night, everyone.
Good night.